God. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Before we even go forward and do things, I just want to share some things with a couple people for you. Okay. Amen. Listen, I submit something to you for your judgment. And you're still in a lot of pain on the inside. You've been carrying it for a long time. And it breaks the Father's heart because you're still hurting. And he says, you know the way out. But there's, again, you need to walk through this thing. And there's some people you got to release. And one of the people you need to release is the condemnation you have on yourself. Right? And because he wants you set free. He wants you really set free. And again, he's saying there's a consequence if you don't do it. Okay, there's a consequence, and it'll go into the next generation. And that's the last thing you want. And the thing is, so he's giving you a call of freedom. Freedom. Okay? But you've got it. There's some pain to walk through that. But there's freedom. Keep that in mind. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Amen. For this gentleman here, I've never met you, I don't think. Okay. Again, really since God's speaking, there's an intellectual gift in you. Now, there's a gift. You're one that you can look at things and you enjoy studying it. You enjoy studying it. And but I think God wants to make you one who sees the Word of God very clearly. Very clearly. And at times you've questioned things in the Word, like what does this mean? What's it speaking? But he's saying, look, no, he's giving you a gift. He's giving you a gift, but you gotta apply yourself. Ask God by your Spirit. He's saying, by your Spirit, give me wisdom that I can see this, what it means. And he's going to give you insight, not just for your own life, but for other people, because it's always going to be about other people. It's always going to be about other people. Amen? Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Bless the Lord. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just kind of walking. So just waiting to see what God speaks, what he says. Amen. Whether you meet my eyes or not doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. If you look away, I'll still has nothing to do with anything at all. Amen. 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 For my sister here. You were out front there, right? Amen. Amen. You know, this thing, now God's heart breaks for you too. It breaks. And when I well up like this, typically what that is, it's God. I feel what God feels, and again, his heart's breaking. You're still carrying a lot of. There's a lot of unresolved things, and I really sense too that he's saying you got to trust me. You really have to trust, and you know that we all know you're supposed to have faith. Now we say, look, there's some issues that you really need to give to him and say, I'm trusting. Come hell or high water, I'm going to trust the Word of God. And I will walk in that peace and serenity. So he wants you to have peace and serenity in where you are. Peace and serenity. It's there for the taking, but you've got to believe it. You got to believe the words. Amen? Bless God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. That's enough for now. We'll come back to that. It's an honor to be here. People were asking me how long it's been since I've been here on a Sunday. I can't remember. That's no fault of anybody. You know, COVID kind of changed the world for everybody, right? And God's doing different things, and there's great things happening here on this side of town in Bridge City Church, amen? And I'm here to applaud not just you, but what God is doing, hallelujah, what God is doing in our midst, amen? I rejoice. And how many people got baptized at the beginning of the month? From White Oak, 21? Only 21? Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that great? That's great. Listen, that's something to celebrate. We celebrate what God's doing. There's something unique going on. God wants you to know, White Oak, that he wants you to know that it's easy to take that for granted. It's easy to take for granted souls coming to Jesus Christ. It's easy to take for granted that this is just the way it is here. This is what always happens. No, it's not. No, it's not. And if you take it for granted, it'll dry up. And I sense God's prophetic exhortation even for the church. Appreciate it. Do not take for granted what's happening in those situations. There's a need to build, and that's a challenge for all of us. You know, I always say when someone gets saved, and this, again, still speaking to the church as a whole, pastor, when someone gets saved, it's like the ribbon-cutting ceremony when they're going to build a new building and all the dignitaries come out and everybody shouts and they take pictures. But no one's there the next day when the bulldozers come in and it's still dark and starts ripping up the ground. And that's what happens when we get saved. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, there's a celebration and we have tears and shouts of joy. And then the next day, though, if you allow it, the Holy Spirit's going to come in and tear up a person's life. And we have to be there to help people rebuild and reestablish themselves on ground that doesn't move. And so there's a challenge for you as a church family. What is happening? We rejoice in, and God wants it to continue. I want you to hear that. God says, I want it to continue. However, collectively, we've got to be builders. Collectively, you all have a part to play in helping the next person continue to grow in faith. Do you hear me? Okay, we all have a part to play. You know, we can say, Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. But, you know, that's not just a one-person thing. That's all of us collectively. All right? Because you have to be able to hold what God's doing. You have to be able to hold that harvest of souls. Amen? So that's a challenge. God wants it to keep going, but if you take it for granted, man, it'll dry up. It'll dry up. You don't want that to happen. Amen? There's something great going on here, something to celebrate. Again, hallelujah. We rejoice with you guys. We rejoice with what's happening over here on this side of our city. Amen. Many of you I have not met. It's been a little bit of time since I've been here, and I've been doing a fair amount of travel, and it's an honor to be here. I've been in a few different nations this year. I'll be gone the month of October in four nations in Africa. Be gone for 4 weeks, but you know, God's got things going on, right? Now, this is one of the things we need to know, because God has spoken prophetically that I'm supposed to be traveling. And I want you to be able to, just want to be able to share with you, though, he began speaking those words over me 20 years ago. It was 20 years. I was in my 40s then. And he said, I'd get exhortations, prophetic exhortations. You're going to travel. And I have traveled. I've done mission work for decades. But it was like there's this extensive travel coming forward. You know, get your passport, get a bigger suitcase. You know, these are the kind of words I would get from various people. And, you know, it was 20 years. And it wasn't until I was in my early 60s that all of a sudden these doors have opened up. And I just want you to know, when God works and he speaks, you've got to hold on to what he says. There's things that will be spoken today over you. And some of them said they're not necessarily for today. Now, the words I spoke so far, those are for today. Okay, those are for today. But there will be things spoken, and you need to hold fast to those words. And there's something for you to do to prepare for those things. Okay, but I know it said, so point is, prophetic ministry has had a profound effect on my wife and I, on my wife and myself. And for some of you, it may be new. It's a new type of thing that's going on. And we don't want to take for granted that we understand, that everybody understands what it is. And for most of us think we understand it, and we really don't. Okay, what is this prophetic ministry? You know, because what we see is this in the scripture. God gives gifts to men and women. He gives supernatural deposits to men and women. And he says, if you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, if you believe in this Holy Spirit and you allow him to take control of you, God, take control of me. That's the same thing. God, take control of me. He gives everybody at least one supernatural gift. And we can read some of those in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 12. 13 is a good chapter too, but chapter 12 is where it says that. It said, he gives gifts. Why does he give gifts? Why? Because he uses us to build one another. Right? Again, I don't know about you, but I don't know if I've ever heard an angel speak to me, but I've heard my wife. Okay? And I've heard Pastor Nick, and I've heard Pastor Rob, and I've heard Tom, and you know, I've heard people, God uses people. So what he does, he gives you gifts. He gives everyone a gift, and he says, that gift is not for you. Who's the gift for? Right? To the person to your right and the person to your left. He's given you gifts for other people. Those gifts are to be used for others. Why? To help them mature, to help them grow into and walk in all the promises of God. Think about that. He wants you to walk in all of his promises. You know, I'm a father of six, grandfather of nine. I want my kids blessed. The Father wants you blessed. How does he bless you? Well, he puts a deposit in you. And he says, I want you to share this with him and with her. That's how it works. That's how it works. He uses, why? Because he wants us to walk in the promises of God. And he wants us to take more land for the kingdom of God. See, listen, because one of the problems we have when it comes to the spiritual gifts is we think they're just for inside the four walls. I shouldn't say that. We don't think that. We know they're for outside the walls. We just act like they're for inside the four walls. See, God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free, right? Not just because he loves you, because there's people for you to touch. And every prophetic word that is shared today is not just about you being set free. It's about you sharing what you have, sharing the freedom. You know, we just went through 12 weeks studying the book of Joshua. Right there was, they received the promises, the promise of the promised land. But ultimately, there was more land to take. Right? And again, we Christians are supposed to carry the hope of Jesus Christ to the entire world. To the entire world. Right? So again, so it's not just about your freedom. It's about us taking this freedom that we have, blessing the people around us to walk in maturity, that we all can reach the lost. That is ultimately the point. That's what this is about. So again, these words are not just for you, okay, just for you to have a better life. No, they're for you to walk in the promises of God that you can give them away. Amen? We need that understanding. We need that understanding. You know, we know that in churches like ours, churches who believe in the move of the Spirit, when we do prophetic meetings, usually they're the most attended. Again, typically, why? Because people enjoy. We enjoy hearing from God, right? Amen? Yeah. I like getting clarity from God. We like that. We desire that. But listen, but God doesn't just want to speak to you. He wants to speak that word through you and to bless other people. Bless other people. So let's just talk about the prophetic gift here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is speaking, and we'll look at that next slide. Okay, and Paul is speaking, and he's encouraging the church. He's encouraging these new Christians in Corinth, because we need to remember that, again, all these letters that Paul wrote, you know, Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and Galatians, they were all written to brand new Christians. How do we know that? Because everybody in this first century was a brand new Christian. Okay, they were new Christians. They were trying to figure out, what is this Christian thing? And so he wrote a letter here. He wrote this letter, and he's talking to them right here specifically about spiritual gifts, that supernatural deposit that everybody who cries out for receives at least one. All right? And again, it says here in the first verse, he talks about prophecy. Okay, I'm sorry, this is verse 3. It says, the one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. Okay, what does prophecy do? It makes people stronger. Right? It brings encouragement and it comforts. Okay, that's what he speaks of. Now, what's interesting is in the first verse is that he says, I pray that you have all the spiritual gifts, but especially that you could prophesy. Paul says that of all the spiritual gifts, desire this one. Desire this gift. This is the one. And you sort of think, well, why? Why? Don't you think there's more dramatic gifts? I mean, like how about healing? How about the gift of, again, why not? How about miracles? That sounds like a good one, right? That could affect people. But he says, no, especially you could prophesy, that you could speak. And I believe it reveals the heart of the Father. Again, because two verses later, this is what it says. He says, the one who prophesies, why should you desire this? It strengthens people. It encourages people. It comforts people. Right? And he goes on later in the chapter in verses 24 and 25, we don't have time to turn there, where he says, actually, it's a great gift for people that have yet to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Because he says, you know, when someone prophesies, it reveals the secrets of the heart, and men fall on their knees and give glory to God. Right? So again, prophecy is a powerful, powerful gift. So he says, this is something that everybody in the room here should desire. You should all desire to do what you just saw me do. And some of you are saying, there's no way I'm ever going to do that, right? But listen, that's what the Scripture says, so this is the gift you should want above all other gifts. God wants to do this. What is prophecy? What is it? What do we say when we're speaking of this very thing? Listen, prophecy could really mean two things. Typically, it means to speak forth or forth-tell. It's a divinely inspired message speaking of God's truth to you. Divinely inspired message. People speaking something they know nothing about. I don't know these things I just spoke. I said, and the things I speak later on here in a few minutes, look, I don't know you. I'm just speaking it prayerfully. It bears witness with you, all right? But I said, it's a fourth tell. It's telling of a truth that's divinely inspired, divinely inspired. Or it could be foretelling, which is predicting the future, predicting the future. It could be that also, okay? Now, again, some of us are like, man, that would be good to know, right? That would be good to know. Some of you would really like to know who you're supposed to marry and when it's going to happen, right? There's those. That's reality. That's reality. But this is what prophecy is. He says this is what we should be looking for. Now, the problems of course, though, is some of us were the other extreme. Some here aren't familiar at all with prophetic. Others are saying, man, I've seen the prophetic, and I think it's weird. And I think it's strange. And, again, I've seen it misused. That's the truth. That's the truth. You know what? That's not new. It happened 2,000 years ago in the first century, okay? And it said that the prophecy was misused. There were things spoken that weren't right. And it's addressed. It's addressed in these New Testament letters. Okay, and actually, when Paul was writing to the new Christians in Thessalonica, he wrote this in chapter 5. Chapter 5 of Thessalonians 1. He says, now again, he says, don't despise prophecies. But what's interesting is in the context he spoke of this. Paul's closing out the letter, and he's given kind of like shirt pocket notes. And he says, hey, rejoice always, and pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, and don't quench the spirit. And then he says, don't despise prophecy. So right in line with all this, rejoice always, pray all the time, he says, don't despise prophecy. Don't despise it. See, because some of us, again, we just want to reject it and say, this is weird. This isn't God. God doesn't work this way. Well, no, God does work this way. It's scriptural. It's scriptural. It's scriptural that he works this way. But it says, don't despise prophecy. What's despise mean? Reduce to nothing. Disregard. Disregard it. Okay? But it does say, do what? Test everything. Test everything. Every word should be tested. Right? Again, you have to test it. Not every word that is said is accurate. That's reality. That's reality. Not every word spoken is accurate. Why? Because listen, we see through a glass darkly. And I'm real big in teaching and sharing about people. You know, we have a prophetic team here in the church in Bridge City that people are being trained on how to grow in this gifting. And one of the things we talk about, I harp on, is that you don't put this pressure on you that you're always right all the time. Okay? Not every word that's spoken is correct. Okay? That's why it needs tested. The person that you should run from is the person who says, every time I believe it's God, it's always been God every single time. I'm never wrong in hearing God's voice. If people say they're never wrong hearing God's voice and every prophetic word they say is true, run. Run. Right, because that's not accurate. No, every one of us see through a glass darkly. What we see, but this is how we have to be mature as receivers. You're receiving today, right? How we do that? Look, you hear the word, you judge it. Through time, I've spoken to a couple of people who are used extensively in this gifting around the world, and I asked them. I said on two separate occasions. I said, brother, I said, I know you're using this gift. I said, has there ever been a time, I said, on your best day to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and dead to your flesh, how much of what you say to people do you think is correct? How much do you really think is God? And the one guy said, four out of five things. He said, four out of five things I believe are God. One out of five's me. It's me. And I asked another guy the exact same question, and his answer was 80%. Same answer. Same answer. So what does that mean? That means the things that you share, or if you're being used prophetically, I hope you're right 80% of the time. All right? So what does that mean as a receiver? Listen, that means that someone may say to you three or four different points, okay? Four of those may be absolutely right, and the fifth one's like, yeah, no, that one doesn't fit. So what do you disregard the whole thing? No. Now, how about eat the fish, spit out the bones? Okay, it's that simple, right? It's not that complicated. Take what is good, all right, and cast the rest out. That's reality. I was in a situation at the very beginning of Word and Worship Church. I've been with the church since its third week of existence, Okay, so I'm actually the longest standing member of the church. Okay. Yeah, and I'm still walking. Yeah. And I remember it. I remember it. But anyhow, it was one of the very early days. And I'm sitting next to my brother. My brother lives in Indiana, not Pastor Rick or Pastor Larry. And this we have a prophetic guy there. And he walks down the aisle, and I'm like 23 at the time, you know, and he looks at my brother, and he like reads his mail. Like, you ever have that happen to you? Ever somebody like they're in your bedroom, right? And he reads his mail, and he says like three things, like bang, bang, bang. And it was absolutely God. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, well, I'm blown away. The guy looks at him like this, takes a step down the aisle, comes back and says, one more thing. Spend more time with your wife. And walked away. There was a problem. He wasn't married. See, again, what was he? He was in the spirit, but in that moment, that quick, I mean, he got in the flesh, stepped back, and thought he was married. So my brother, listen, sadly, at that point, we were young in the Lord, he disregarded the whole thing. Said, he's not real, forget him. And he threw the whole thing out. When in reality, I think 75% three of the four things were absolutely right. Right? So who really lost in that situation, the prophetic guy or my brother? Don't be that guy, right? Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't expect everything to be right. That's what we're practicing the prophetic. I'm big on the word submission. I submit a word. I submit these things. Why? Because they need judged. You need to judge the words. That's what healthy, mature Christians do. Okay? Again, does that make sense? See, because we want to create a safe environment for the gifts of the Spirit to move. And that's what we're doing today. We want you to see this is a safe environment. And because we have several teams here today, people that are recognized, several of them are on the prophetic team, but everyone up front that's going to be up here later, everyone that they're, we recognize their character first, and that there's a gift inside of them. Okay, and if you want prayer this morning, you're going to receive prayer this morning. Okay, but it said, but it's a healthy environment. Okay, we want it to be healthy. Amen. We want it to be healthy. And again, and I'm praying. My prayer today is that there are people today that you're always going to remember August 27th, 2023, because God spoke to your heart. And it was a day that you found freedom. It's a day that you were convicted of something that you know has been there for a long time, right? Or a day that you are comforted and you just know God in a way you've never known before, all through prophetic ministry. That's what we want to see happen. That's what we're looking to see happen. So, like I said, so we're going to test it, and we're going to hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what is good. Okay, again, so how do you receive it, though? What do we do? How do we know if the word is from God? How do we know if it is from God? There's some things we can do. First thing is it biblical? Is it biblical? This is how you process it. Does it align with the Bible? Right? Is it biblical? That's pretty obvious. Okay, if someone's saying something that's not biblical, we're gonna cast that out. Secondly, does it confirm something that's already resonating in your heart? Because so often prophetic words are just used to confirm what God is already speaking to you. But he's speaking something, and there's a word confirming. Hopefully, like the things I've said so far, they're confirming some things that people sense already, okay? And again, it should resonate inside of you. It should resonate inside. Thirdly, discern what's God's part. Discern what's God's part and what is your part. What's God's part? What's your part? Because God could very well say today, He's gonna say to some of you, there's gonna be words say, hey, you have the gift of intercession. Okay, if he says you have the gift of intercession, wow, God says I have the gift of intercession. What do I do with that? Well, you need to find out what does intercession mean, right, if that's necessary, and find people. Who's walking in this gift? You have a responsibility to see that happen. Or if God says, you know what, God's given you the gift to make wealth. How many would like that one, right? Given you the ability to make wealth. Well, there's things you have to do to make that happen. I've met no one who's dreamt the lottery number, okay? Many of you have prayed that prayer, okay? You have not, God has not answered it, okay? So in other words, there's a responsibility that you have. If God says you have the gift to make wealth, you know what, I'm telling you what, you're going to work hard is what's going to happen. But you got to apply yourself in that place. Does that make sense? Okay, so what part is God? What part is me? What responsibility do I have? If God says, if someone speaks to you and says, you know what, I believe you have this gift to be prophetic and to speak life over people. Ooh, okay. Well, you got to put yourself in a place to grow in that gifting and take that risk to do that. So just because God says it doesn't mean it's just going to happen like this, right? You have a responsibility. Again, this is how we process prophetic ministry, and he uses it to mature us and to push us out further that we can fulfill the kingdom of God. And again, recognize too, again, as I said, timing does matter. We don't, how often does God work on your timetable, right? Not often, right? Not often. He works on his timetable. I said, I had words spoken to me for 20 years to see them happen. And now that I'm gray-haired, he says, now I want you to do this. Okay, again, that's just what's what he does. Okay, so we have to be aware of the timing, but there is a preparation that is going on. Next, to make sure something is a word of God, make sure something is a word of the Lord, what do those who you respect, what do those in authority say about the word? You know, if there's a word that challenges you or speaks to you, again, something about there's hurt in your life or you know, I really sense God's going to be leading you into a job change, right? Or even a location change, right? There may be something spoken about. Some of you may have a word. Somebody may receive something today about you're called to the mission field. Okay, and those are unnerving. Those can be unnerving at times, right? But what do people in authority? What do those around you that you trust? What does your pastor say? Again, I've held fast to a saying for a long time that, you know, until your pastor says it's prophetic, it's not prophetic, right? And now again, if you're in right relationship with your pastor, that doesn't bother you, okay? Because again, I know my pastor cared for me. If the pastor doesn't think it's prophetic, then I'm not calling it prophetic. It was maybe pathetic, but it's not prophetic. So I want those words to be judged. I want them to be judged. So that's what we want to release today. We want you to be able to walk in the power of the Spirit of God, right? To sense and experience the power of God today. And then again, God's going to bring, he's going to build you up. Okay? He's going to encourage some of you and he's going to comfort some of you. That's reality. Those are the things that are going to happen. Amen? That's what's going to transpire here this morning. Amen. Okay, so again, a couple more minutes here. A couple more minutes as we have. I just want to. You guys are a couple. Couple of what? Huh? Amen. Amen. Bless God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I feel like since the Lord's speaking that you're just scratching the surface on where He wants to take the two of you, and I'm not just talking about the two of you. In your family, personally, but in what he wants to use, how he wants to use you in touching other people. Okay, you two are going to be people that are going to speak life and hope to many. I really sense again, there's a real call on the two of you to care for others. There's an empathy that God has in you to care for others. For you, it comes more natural. For you, it comes more natural. For you, it's not as natural, but he's calling you to that place. You have not seen yourself as one who is able to express yourself in those ways. The Father says, no, I'm giving you my heart, okay? And it is in there. And quit feeling awkward. Quit feeling awkward and express to people what you see and express to people what you feel, all right, for them. It's real. It's real, okay? And again, you have that gift, but you keep disqualifying yourself. You keep saying, I can't do it. I'm not good enough if they only knew. Now, God says, I've made you whole, all right? And he's not looking at you saying, get it together. He's looking at you saying, trust me that I've forgiven you and allow me to speak life through you. I can't wait to hear what God's going to do with the two of you. Amen? Bless God. Bless the Lord. You can clap for God. That's good. That's good. You're not clapping for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not judged yet. Amen. Amen. The brother with the glasses right here. Amen. Bless God. Bless God. God really, again, he's challenging you. He said there's things inside of you that he wants you to get serious. Like you haven't been diligent the way you should be. And he's saying, look, I got things for you. I have gifting to pour out, and I want to speak to you in. And I do want to give you more confidence, self-confidence, and that's going to overflow into confidence to speak life to other people. But you're holding it back. You're holding it back. He wants you to get out of the slow lane in your own pursuit and get in the fast lane. Okay, why? Because it's bright. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. And I sense the word excitement. He wants you to know it's going to be exciting. It's not going to be dull. It's not going to be dry. It's going to be exciting. Okay, you're not going to be losing anything. You're going to be gaining excitement. All right, bless God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You two are going to have a baby. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that's called the gift of observation, but we'll, boy or girl. Hold on. Didn't tell me. Okay, didn't tell me. Didn't tell me. Hey, man, how about you guys? Hallelujah. You married? Not yet. Okay, are you saying not yet too? Okay, all right, just make sure we're in agreement. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For you, I really sense God saying you're still kind of towing the water, like putting your toes in with Jesus on seeing if you really want to dive in the whole way. Okay, and the Father sees that, and he's inviting you in. He's saying, nope, I'm real. What you've experienced is real. And there's nothing like this, and you are not losing anything. You're gaining everything. You're gaining everything. Jesus said, you want to find out what life is really like? Lose your life to me and find out what I really meant it to be. Give your life to give. Dive in. Dive in. No more tone. Dive in. And again, he's going to show you how good it is. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. God speaks, I sense him just saying, you got to be patient. Okay, in life. There's a patience that he's speaking to you. People say, well, I am patient, but are you patient on the inside? Patient on the outside. But God's saying, look, you're one that I'm saying I want you to trust me. Allow my timing to happen in all phases of life. Okay, there's a patience. Now, patience isn't inertia. That means you're pressing into God, pressing into his family and who he is. Amen? Okay? Amen. Let's get to the back row people. Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. This couple here. Amen. Now, are you guys married? Nope. You dating? You're engaged. Okay. Amen. That's like married. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You're really one. You limit what God can do with you. Like you look at this and you say, I want it, but I just can't see it. I can't perceive God using me in big ways, in dramatic ways. God's saying, no, you're limiting me. You're limiting what God wants to do. And there's a challenge. He's challenging you. You got to trust me. Okay, I will speak through you, and I will speak to you. Okay, I really sense he's saying, actually, he's going to give you visions. Okay, and I don't mean that. I mean visions like for other people. You're going to look at someone and say, wow, I got this vision when I look at them. And there's things there you need to submit and share. There's a spiritual gift in you to be able to use doing this type of prophetic stuff. It's pretty cool. But again, you got to be willing. You got to be willing now. You have a responsibility inside of all that. Amen? Amen. You also have that same issue of limiting God. God can do this much with me, but not more. Like I can serve this way, but not that way. And no, God's saying, look, there's more power inside of you. Quit looking at yourself like you're a 4-cylinder engine. He says you're like a 8-cylinder turbocharged engine, if that means anything at all to you. He's saying there's way more power, and he's going to use you in ways beyond what you can imagine. Okay, but you got to believe it, because I really sense you speaking. I see you speaking to women. And speaking life, and not just life, you're going to speak like hard truth to people, and they're going to be able to receive it because it's done in love. Okay, that's a real gift. That's That's a real gift. So you have a responsibility to go forward with that after you judge it. Amen? Amen. Listen, what we want to do right now, again, because time's running short, we have like eight teams. We have eight teams to continue with prophetic ministry here. If we could have those teams come forward and line up in your places. Okay?